we don't have those things that the native would get, so we'll miss out on some of those bits of information. But I've seen so many polyglots now that, yeah, they're not natives, and they don't, maybe a lot of them don't even speak like natives or even close to that, but they're able to speak so many different languages, or they're able to communicate so well on whatever level that they are, that it doesn't strike true to me that you would not be able to learn a language very well as an adult.
Hey there, this is Steph from StephFuccio.com with another episode of Geopat's Language. We are traveling to Southern California in the U.S. today to visit a repeat guest of the podcast. I'm laughing because for a lot of you, that isn't too far to travel. But for me, over in Albania, that is a super long trip. I will tell you more about him in a minute, but first I want to mention one thing. Did you know that the Geopat's Language podcast now has a YouTube channel? Okay, to be fair, it's had a YouTube channel for a long time, but we've organized it. For the longest time, it was called Changing Scripts, and it had a lot of my own study documentation of me studying Mandarin Chinese, walkabout videos, and all kinds of random stuff. But we also have a playlist now with the Geopat's Language conversations. And some of those conversations are also going to be in video form, where you can see us having the conversations, which you did with the past one or two guests that we had on the show. That's not true for today's episode, but it is true in general. And we're going to be doing more of that. And as I experiment with doing more live interviews, you're actually going to be able to view the live interviews, if you wish, in real time. That's why they're called live. Yeah. Anyway, so I just wanted to let you know that. It is called Geopat's Podcast Network. We're over on YouTube, and I'll have links in the show notes for you. Today's episode is not our usual conversation style. Instead, we're going to get a deep dive update from previous guest Vaughn from episode 13 of Geopat's Language. Back in November, I participated in National Podcast Posting Month, now PodPomo, where crazy podcasters like myself published an episode a day for an entire month. After surviving that month, I have revisited all of the recordings that came in, and I realized that I had not actually used all of what Vaughn sent in, and here's why. For the experiment, I asked previous guests of all of the podcasts on the network to listen to their original episode and to reflect back on it, to include things like what they've been up to since then, what they think of that original episode, so on and so forth. You get the idea. Most people sent in about 10 or 15 minutes of talking because, unlike me, they don't talk incessantly when a mic is in front of them. They are succinct and wonderful and, you know, concise people. And yeah. Vaughn, however, was more like me, and he talked and talked and talked, and it was so fascinating to listen to. But for now, PodPomo, I was keeping the episodes short. I was experimenting with mini episodes. For me, that means under 10 minutes. So what I did is I took his most popular clip from the original episode from 2 years ago about brain burn, as he called it, and I took the update on that, and I used that for now, PodPomo. But that left me with, you guessed it, 40-some minutes of his other brilliant ideas. And I was saving those for later. Welcome to later! During this episode, Vaughn shares with us how some people overthink learning Mandarin Chinese tones, how language learning as an adult can be easier than learning languages as a child, how Mandarin Chinese gets more difficult the more you learn it. He even theorizes that it could be exponentially so. How he got his Chinese name through rather nefarious means. This is quite an episode. It is very different than what we usually do, but I really hope that you sit back and enjoy the bombs of knowledge and experience that Vaughn has about learning Mandarin Chinese. I would love to hear what you think of this or any of our episodes on Geopat's Language. On Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, I am at Steph Fuccio, StephFuccio. You can even leave me a voice message at StephFuccio.com. Just go to the contact page and you'll see the button. be show notes with more information and everything possibly clickable from this episode at stephfuccio.com/geopathslanguage. Now let's get to the bombs of knowledge that Vaughn has about learning and using Mandarin Chinese.
Hi there, I'm Vaughn. Nice to meet you. I was on the Geopaths Language Podcast number 13. And we talked about my experiences with learning Chinese, Mandarin Chinese. And at that point, I was at about 5 years in. So this is, I think, 2 years later. Wow, time flies. So I'm at 7 years in my Chinese language studying journey. It's been quite interesting. So I hope to share some of my updates, some things that have happened to me, and reflect a little bit on the last podcast. First off, difficulty. So difficulty of studying Chinese. This is always an interesting point, because every time I talk to people about studying Chinese, there are always a few things that come up in the conversation. First is usually, oh, well, the tones are so hard. This is impossible. You know, we just can't hear the difference between them. Well, you know, in my opinion, they're not as difficult as people think. I actually feel that most people have heard that from someone else and they bought into it before actually trying it. If you have a little bit of confidence, a little bit of faith in yourself, then it's not that bad. And if you do try, and you try the method that I used, which was, I think it's called like call and repeat or something like that, right? If you listen to somebody and then repeat what they say, and you listen to them and then you repeat what they say, you don't have to focus on the tones. You just try to say it exactly the way that they say it. And that's how I do it. I really try not to put too much emphasis on learning the tones. And I know a lot of people are going to freak out because my accent isn't perfect. My pronunciation isn't perfect. It's not even close. But I think I get more in the ballpark than a lot of other people. And that's because I just really just focus on imitation. And I let my brain naturally and subconsciously just sort of figure it out. I don't want to call attention with my conscious mind to it. And I go by feel. So if I feel that I got about it, then I'll just go with that. And if the other person understands me, then that's good. That's all I'm really about, right? So anyway, I don't think it's as difficult as people make it out to be. Next thing I hear a lot is that, and this is a general concern about learning language, is that if you didn't learn it as a kid, then you're not going to be as good at it. Or it's just not possible if you're an adult. Yeah, I just don't think that's true. My favorite example is always Mr. Steve Kaufman. He's in his 70s and he's still picking up new languages like a boss. And in general, I just think that learning is something that we get better at as we get older. It's not something we get worse at. The thing that we get worse at is the process of learning. We get rusty, we get out of practice. Learning is a skill in itself, and our capacity, I believe, improves as you try to learn more, like a muscle. So if you are constantly trying to absorb new things and process new things, synthesize information, then you get better at it and faster at it and are able to do it in a larger way. So I don't think it's true. The other thing about learning as an adult is that we have a frame of reference. We can learn abstract concepts in a foreign language more readily than a child can, simply because we have already had the experience of trying to digest some of these abstract concepts. Sometimes it may be more difficult for us because we're less willing to give up our mother tongue's way of thinking, and so we sort of want to force something to be like the way that we're familiar, and that makes it difficult. Also, we don't have all of the cultural backing that a child would get, stuff like stories, like bedtime stories, TV shows, toys, moments with mom and dad, like cultural kinds of things, like holidays, heroes and people. We don't have those things that the native would get, so we'll miss out on some of those bits of information. But I've seen so many polyglots now that, yeah, they're not natives, and they don't, maybe a lot of them don't even speak like natives or even close to that, but they're able to speak so many different languages, or they're able to communicate so well on whatever level that they are, that it doesn't strike true to me that you would not be able to learn a language very well as an adult. And I've seen some people, Leela, I can't remember her last name. I have to find Leela and give Steph the link for Leela. But Leela learned Mandarin, I think, in college, maybe high school and college. And she is a phenomenal speaker. Oh my God. She speaks it like a native. In some cases, she knows the language better than natives. Actually, probably a lot of cases. She is really, really good at Mandarin. And it's kind of amazing. So I'll have to find Leela and share with you guys. Chinese, yes. What I said in the last podcast, I still agree with. So it gets progressively harder. I think it gets progressively harder as you get deeper into the language. Maybe at first, getting familiar with tones, getting familiar with the characters and the way that the grammar is ordered and stuff like that. Maybe that's challenging, but it gets a little bit easier, right? As you get comfortable with that and you're just learning vocabulary, and then it gets harder and harder and harder and harder. And my experiences at 7 years where I've been off and on, I'm not like a full-time studier of this language. I really wish I was. I try to, but there just comes times where I have to take a break. It's just too much. It's too overwhelming for me. But the grammar, or like the vocabulary, or the speed, or the accents, or there's other stuff that enters in, and it makes it just so much more difficult. I get very frustrated so often that I can't understand things. I still cannot read a full newspaper without the dictionary. I still cannot watch a movie without pausing and looking up words. I still, when I'm talking to friends or something, or like they send me a voice recording or something like that, I still have to play it dozens and dozens of times to understand it. You know, when they're speaking at a native natural level, words get blended together. You know, like we have in English, we have contractions like ain't, isn't, those kinds of things. But there's even more word blending. I think Steph even talked about this in one of her YouTube videos a long time ago. But let's see. I can't think of an example for English right now, but we run words together in a way that when you're listening to it as with fresh ears as a person learning English, you can't tell the difference between the first part of the sound, which is one word, and the second part of the sound, which is another word. And not only that, but both of those, when you squish both of those words together into one sound or one continuous sound without a break, it becomes unrecognizable. You almost can't even, you're like, is that English? Is that a word? And this thing happens in Chinese too. I'm sure this happens in every language. This is what happens when you get very comfortable with the language. You don't speak it with a very standard and proper, very clear way. You just kind of like mutter things together because it feels good. It feels natural, and people understand too. That makes it so much harder. Furthermore, and this is the hardest thing, is that I think the grammar in Chinese actually morphs, and it it stops being what I guess what I assume they would teach you in school. I've never taken a class for Chinese, but you know, all of the websites and resources that I used when starting out, those things, those grammar rules, they start breaking down and people do crazy things like acrobatics with the language, and it gets very difficult for me to understand. And I think like you have to move into a space where you stop trying to analyze the language and split things up consciously, and you have to like feel it. That's my opinion. And that just takes so long. It takes mastery. When you look at things like poetry, so one of the activities I had been doing on HelloTalk was I've tried to help my friends translate their posts from Chinese into English so that I can get some practice with that. And one friend had asked me to help her translate a poem, and that was just, it was impossible. The structure of it, the prose of it was so abstract and complicated, but not complicated as in there were lots of words, but it was very simple. It was very minimalist, but the relationships were very complex. It was so much so that I actually couldn't do it. I tried several times. I tried with her help, and we both could not figure out a translation. Now, that's not to say that there is no translation, but because I'm not great at this language. I don't think I'm even good at this language. I'm still in the intermediate, I think intermediate level. And her English is higher than mine, but you know, at best she's only in the upper intermediate level. So with both of our understandings of the language, the two languages, we are unable to do it. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. When people talk about learning Mandarin, they don't ever discuss the end game or even the mid game. This is, like I said, we're intermediate and the intermediate level. And that's just, it was way above both of us. So, but that's great. That's also the good thing. So like I said before, I used to be really into video games. A lot of games have sort of a low skill ceiling, as in like once you spend a certain amount of time with the video game that you'll no longer be finding new things or getting any better. You've kind of found the most optimal way to play the game and that's about it. With Chinese, I feel like you can just keep going and going and going and going, and you'll never reach the top, or you'll never reach the bottom if we're talking about like digging. And so that's great because it's constantly interesting. It's constantly new and novel. And that is something I love about learning new things is when they constantly provide new challenges. It just also happens to be frustrating sometimes when you want to watch a movie. I'm here if you
so choose to lose. I'm going to pop in here with two quick language announcements to try to help you with your language learning process. One is for German and two is for any language. So, one, German. German Uncovered. You've heard me talk about German Uncovered course before, and I'm back talking about it because it is a fantastic course. I haven't finished it yet. In full disclosure, I think I stopped at about chapter 7 or 8 when we had to leave Germany due to visa issues, not due to anything nefarious. German Uncovered is a fantastic course. The whole point of this course is that it's story-based. You've got a 20-chapter story of these teenagers going to Germany to experience the language and the culture, and there is a bit of mystery and intrigue in the story as well. You've got everything online. You've got videos that talk about the cognates to help you transfer your knowledge of English over to German. You've got videos on grammar, vocabulary, oh, and so much more. And it's so easy to get motivated by the movement of the story itself, and it kind of honestly, even just in 7 or 8 chapters, I felt myself getting pulled into the story and forgetting the grammar and doing things perfectly and just wanting to know what happens at the end of the story. German Uncovered is the name of the course. I'll have an affiliate link for you in the show notes, as well as on stefffuccio.com geopatslanguage. The second announcement is from Online Language Exchange, and they're going to tell you all about it themselves.
Hi, everyone. Join us at the Online Language Exchange. We host events for language learners to practice and improve their target language with native speakers. The events are well-structured, fun, friendly, and great for conversational practice. You are placed in small groups of 2 to 6 people. You speak 10 minutes of your language, 10 minutes of your target language. Then you move to a different group with new people. We usually have over 130 participants attending from all over the world, with languages including English, Spanish, French, German, Italian, Portuguese, Japanese, Arabic, Mandarin, Russian, Irish, and sometimes more, depending on who participates on the day. All levels are welcome to join. There is no admission fee, but participants can contribute if they wish. So if you're looking to practice your target language in real conversations with real people, join our online language learning community. The event takes place every Wednesday. For more information on time zones, how to connect, check out our Facebook and Insta pages at Online Language Exchange.
So hopefully these two tools will help you with your own language learning process. Now, let's get back to geeking out with language.
I'm really trying to, not really, but like on the back burner, I'm trying to find a Chinese name. And while on HelloTalk, well, I came across a guy that wanted to give me a name. It was strange, and yeah, I'd never expected for something like this to happen. Yeah, you're probably like, what happened? Okay, so I met this dude on HelloTalk. His name, we'll call him Frank, right? He's a guy from, I think, central China somewhere. I'm not really sure. No, he was from Shanghai. And Frank was kind of an eccentric dude. He always was taking photos of like his little, he's got a little white cat. And he really loved that cat. He always take photos of his cat and send pictures to me. And he'd post them on his page and stuff like that. And, you know, he would send me photos of like ramen that he was going to be having. This guy's like in his late 30s or something. He had a very particular tea set that he always wanted to share. Not really sure the backstory behind that, but it was kind of like a dull green, like rustic looking tea set on a like old wooden box. And he really loved that. He didn't have too many other things. Like he looked like he lived in a pretty basic apartment. Not much else, just that cat, the ramen, and the tea set. But Frank told me that he trained police for a living. I was like, okay, well, that's kind of interesting. As I got to know him better, he told me that he taught police combat. I was like, okay, well, that's really interesting. And I try to dig into that more. Like, what do you mean by combat? So this is kind of how it's going to be difficult to keep this like too friendly. So, but he told me that he taught the art of assassination, which I didn't know what to say about that. I was like, oh, okay. I think at the time I just took it as being a joke. I was like, oh, this guy wants to be cool. He teaches assassination. I'm like, why would cops need to learn assassination? That doesn't make any sense. But so I just tried to like laugh it off. And I was like, oh, it's Frank the assassin with his little kitty cat. And, you know, I just try to make light of it. And he rolled with it for a while, but eventually things started getting weird. He asked me, had I ever been to China? And I was like, yeah, I've been there in 2008. I was there for a couple of weeks for school and stuff like that. I liked it, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, oh, well, you should come here again. Like, I'll treat you. I'll take you out. Like, we'll go here, we'll go there and stuff like that. I want to show you this and stuff, which, I mean, it's kind. I think he was probably being genuine about that. I've heard that from a lot of travelers, and maybe some of you have experience with this, but a lot of people, when they come across foreign travelers, they want to, you know, bring them in and like treat them, take them around and stuff like that, because it's a chance for them to be exposed to other cultures and stuff like that. Like, it makes them a little bit cooler sometimes with their friends, and it's just an interesting experience. So it's not like a crazy kind of thing. I think maybe as an American, I'm very wary of this because I'm sort of paranoid that people are trying to take advantage of me. But I've gotten the impression from many other people that this is kind of an American perspective. I don't know. Maybe some of you are not American, but Westerners or something. Maybe you can speak to this. I'd love to know. But so I was like, oh, well, that's very kind, but I don't think I'm going to get out to China anytime soon, but I'll keep you in mind. Yada, yada. And he's like, well, I want to also teach you. I want to teach you these techniques of assassination. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, I'm okay. Like, I don't really need to know that. Like, I'm in IT. I don't really need to know that. I deal with computers and stuff. And then he's like, well, and he's like, I said, it just keeps getting weirder and weirder. He's like, well, I used to be in a gang, in a Shanghai gang. And, you know, we could use, and he said used to, but it sounded like he still was in that gang. He's like, we could use an IT guy. Like, you could come in, you could make our website, you can do this, you can do that. You don't have to do this, but I still want to teach you this stuff, right? You're going to learn this stuff, right? It's like, I don't want to learn any of that. At this point, the guy tells me, Frank tells me that, you know, he goes by Frankie Eyes. Like, on the street, he's known as Frankie Eyes. And I'm like, okay, Frankie Eyes, I don't know why you're trying to like push me to learn all this stuff or whatever, but I'm okay. Like, I just want to stay on this site and learn the language. Anyway, he starts telling me more about the underground and stuff, about his gang and what kind of people they look out for to recruit. They're trying to expand into the West and stuff like that. He's telling me like the people that they target, the kinds of people they target, yada, yada. Then he's like, I can't call you by your screen name anymore. Like, I gotta have a name for you. It's rude for me to not do this. So he tries to start offering up names, right? And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I can get a name out of this. Great. The thing was, he would always attach his last name to it. And he was trying to give me his last name. I was like, I don't really think I can do it. But I'm like, at this point, like, the hairs on the back of my neck are starting to stand up. And I'm like, ooh, this is getting a little bit creepy. So I try to like be very polite about it. And I said, no, Frank, I don't think I can accept your name. Like, I don't think I'm deserving of it. Like I don't think I've earned it. So maybe I can just have a first name. And so he starts giving me first names. He's like, fine, I'll give you first name. And he gives me one, I think it was Haonan. He names me Haonan. And I'm like, okay, well, I think this is maybe a cool name. I've never heard it before, but it sounds authentic. So I was like, all right, cool. Hey, just by chance, where does this name come from? And he's like, oh, well, it's from a gangster mob boss in Shanghai. He's a very famous one. I was like, okay. I was like, why is he famous? Oh, because he's murdered this many people, and like, he's just a legend, and we all have so much respect for him. I was like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? I was like, okay, well, I just won't say anything about it. I'm like, all right, well, I'll just accept that. And at this point, I really should have disengaged from the guy. I really should have just disengaged from the guy, but I was feeling a little bit protected. And it was somewhat interesting, and it was a chance, because all of this was a text conversation, or they were text conversations, all in Chinese. So I had the chance to practice in an authentic way and in a very interesting context. And I was able to use words new and learn new words that I wouldn't normally come across. So I was like, you know, I'll just keep rolling with this. he can't find out who I am. I'm anonymous, and he lives on the other side of the world from me, so I should be safe. And that was wrong. I mean, he never got over to me or anything, but like the next day, Mr. Frankie Eyes sent me a very graphic photo. And at this point, this is the point when I knew he was not joking, when he was not kidding about teaching assassination. Basically, I saw this photo and it was very hard to make out what it was at first. I was like, what is this? And I was like, oh, this is kind of strange. Like, why would you send me this shot from basically what seemed like a movie? Now, like looking around the photo, I'm scanning it. I guess I've been desensitized to a lot of this stuff from movies and video games. And I see a watch, like a wristwatch. And I'm like, hey, wait a second. That looks pretty real. And so I ask him, hey, man, is this a real photo that you sent me? And he's like, oh, yeah, this was real. This was done with a scimitar. I'm like, are you serious? This guy has just sent me an extremely graphic photo. I like on Hello Talk. I was like, I can't see this. Like, so I freak out on him. I'm not really freaked out myself. I'm disturbed. I surely am disturbed, but like, I'm trying to convey to him that he can't do this. And like, I'm trying to put a little bit distance. And so I'm like, hey man, you can't do this. We're here to exchange language and stuff like that. Like, that's not cool. That is way beyond what we should be doing. I'm not that kind of person. I work in IT. I can't do that kind of stuff. I don't want to do that kind of stuff. And I think I got through to him because he got very like quiet, sort of, you know, we're in text, but he got very quiet. You know what I mean? And he's like, fine. But I'd still like for you to come over and everything like that. So the whole premise of a lot of this stuff, like him wanting to find out my name and or like give me a name and everything like that, is because he found out that like I'm a black guy, and he thought that was really interesting. But at some point, because I wasn't going to send him a photo of me, of course I'm not going to send a photo of me, because I wouldn't tell him my actual name, because I wouldn't. Well, I did record myself. I sent a voice recording. He didn't want to believe that I was black. He started getting like aggressive towards me. He's like, I don't think you're black anymore. And because of that, like, I'll say it like this, like his gang was looking for a certain kind of person, and he was starting to believe that I was one of those kind of people. And then I started getting concerned, because at some point before, he said that he wanted to come over and like recruit with me in the US, and he was going to smuggle himself on a ship and everything. That like it sounds ridiculous, but because of that photo, his unhingedness like gave him a lot of credibility. So at that point, I had to block that guy and just move on. But I guess out of all of this, I did get a name. I don't know if I'll use it, but if I do, that is definitely one of the most interesting names I've ever heard. And I thought I should share that. So yeah, I guess moral of the story is if you're online and you meet somebody that seems unhinged while you're studying language, maybe just leave them alone. I thought that would be cool to share. All right, this is getting really long, so I guess I'll just skip to the last question. Is there anything I would like to ask my former self? I guess I'd have to ask, what is it that you expect to do with this language? It's a very long journey to get where you want to go. What specifically do you want to sound like, or what is your ideal level of ability? Fluency is sort of a deep subject and not well defined. So when you say you want to be fluent, what is it that you specifically mean? my answer to that now is I just like to be able to have basic conversations, you know, some small talk, maybe dinner conversation or something like that. Not really looking to get too deep into like politics or religion or anything like that, but you know, regular conversation. I think that's good enough for me. Anyway, that's all I've got for today. Thanks for listening to my ramblings. It surely is fun to talk about these things to someone. Most of the time, these things just sit in my head and they don't do any good there. So thanks, and I'll catch you guys next time.
Thank you so much to Vaughn for being patient while I publish the second part of his episode that he sent in November of last year. But since time has taken on a different meaning, since you know what happened, then I'm sure he will forgive me for this. Anyway, also thank you to Kirsten Cable from German Uncovered for the information about that course. It is an affiliate program, again, that I hope to get back to at some point, and that if you want to learn German, please do check it out. It's such a good course. Also, thanks to the Online Language Exchange folks for creating an online community that we so desperately need during this bizarre time that we're in. Finally, thank you to Damon Castillo for the music in this podcast. You've only heard snippets of it, but you'll hear the full song, which is called Body Blues, in just a second. This episode was brought to you by me, and I can be found at stephfuccio.com, where you can also find information about Podcast Review Day, my podcast editing services, the other Geopets Podcast Network podcasts, that's a lot of podcasts, and many other creative projects, past guest appearances on other podcasts, and so many more. Before I say the word podcast again, I'm going to lead you into a fantastic song from Damon Castillo in 3, 2, 1.
Ain't it sad that you've never seen just how beautiful life can be? In fact, if I had to make a call, I'd say you never seen yourself at all. Just a flaw here and a flaw there when you're standing in your underwear. Girl, you don't have to buy anything. Confidence has always been free. But I can see you alone in a room, wearing nothing but some sweet perfume. That's why I'm here if you so choose to lose your body blues. Well, you're so hot and you don't even know it. Girl, I love what you got. Gonna teach you to show it. If you're done with the lies, see yourself through my eyes. You've paid your dues. Say goodbye to your body blues. Well, I know that you wanna be free from the shackles of the bourgeoisie. And as a working man, I have to propose. You leave the prison of your pretty clothes. That's why I'm here if you so choose to lose your body blooms. Well, you're so hot and you don't even know it. Girl, I love what you got. Gonna teach you to show it. If you're done with the lies, see yourself through my eyes. You paid your dues. Say goodbye to your body blues. There's no fear, 'cause I'm sincere of heart. I'm just a connoisseur of a Yeah, you're